Hey folks, it's Brock, and before we go to this week's show, just wanted to put in a special announcement. Co-host Aaron Flores just had his bike stolen from behind the apartment while we were taping the show. His bike was a 2005 Specialized Cirrus Sport Disc. Color was charcoal, the size was 52 centimeters. So, if you see his bike around town, we would love any help or leads you could provide if you are in Portland. If you're not in Portland, hopefully it won't get that far and you won't see it. But if you do, we would appreciate the help. We've posted the Bike Portland stolen bike listings and filed a police report. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, but we're hoping to get this wrapped up soon. So anyways, thank you for your attention. And now we bring you this week's show.
In case you're wondering what it sounds like a mess. Like a hot mess.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores. We are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat unprepared statements about many things. And this is the first time I haven't been able to remember that in a long time.
I was going to say, like, you usually
what
do
am I
this
supposed to say?
Verbatim. Something about conversations that are irreverent.
Don't bother me, man. I got lots of shit to do over here. Seriously. No, no.
With the intricacies.
We're here to talk
thinking.
About the intricacies of living simply, both sure. locally and globally.
There you go. There you go.
Did I hit all the talking points?
Yes.
Okay.
And good. Enjoying.
And enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way. That's right.
Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication, and the internet. Also Montana's statehood.
Seriously.
And today, breakfast.
Of champions.
And Cranksgiving.
Yes. We should talk about Cranksgiving first, because I won't get to talk to Laura about Cranksgiving until Wednesday, I think. This is Sunday, so the show is going to be out, like, tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So two more days after that, we're actually going to talk about what Cranksgiving is, but we should probably share with the people out there.
2 days from tomorrow, which is today when you're listening.
Right, but that's all not important because Cranksgiving is happening the Saturday before the actual holiday.
Right.
That would be the 23rd, is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
22nd?
I can check my 23rd. Calendar.
23rd.
The Saturday before the Thanksgiving holiday.
Go ahead and laugh at us. It's all right.
It's okay. Please yeah. do. And I tell you what, just so people know who's laughing at us.
it's better if you just visualize someone holding their hand over their mouth.
It's true.
With their left thumb obscuring their nostrils.
It's what you were doing.
Try to like chuckle and
yeah.
convulse.
So we are in the room with Christopher Chen.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you're the guy that got in touch with me about the Sunrise Coffee Club. So we're going to talk about that.
And right then, now?
Well, in a minute.
Okay.
In a minute. We got to finish up with Cranksgiving. And then Kelly is over here as well. Hello.
Hi.
And wait, did I turn? We got so many technical problems. I think we might need to wiggle that that cable.
Too many ingredients in the stew.
Yeah, seriously. Cooks in the kitchen. And we're also joined by Dave and Phoebe from Boston, who are here for an amount of time, which I do not know. It should be, yeah. They're also in studio with us. So, oh, that's perfect. All right.
Hello.
Oh, perfect.
All right.
Oh, okay.
as long as that mic stays right there, it's gonna be absolutely amazing.
I'll try not to touch it then.
And where did I leave off?
Cranksgiving.
This is the best show ever.
Introducing everyone.
Yes. All right. So here we are all, and. Dave and Phoebe brought the beer for us. There's Anthem Cider, and there is a stout, which has not yet been opened, so we're probably going to have some of that later on. And there's dark chocolate on the table. So, Cranksgiving.
Cranksgiving.
It's a big food drive and an alley cat mixed together, if I understand it right.
Correct.
So, basically, you go out and ride your bike competitively with people. And if you are going to race, I think an alley cat is the best way to race. That's my opinion. And then... anyways, she's going to explain a lot more about that, and we'll fold that into next week's show. But that's coming up, just so you know, because like one week's notice is not really enough for most people to put on the calendar. So 2 weeks out from this weekend, which if you're listening is probably last weekend. Anyways, or
it's
maybe
just
not.
Shy of 2 weeks notice.
That's it. Yeah.
So like if you're quitting a job, it's kind of a dick move, but like
it is,
but it's kind of 10 days. So
but you
okay.
could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So,
so quit your job, everybody. Yeah. Right now. You've got just enough time.
I'm not a lawyer, but if I were.
So yeah, that's going to be happening. Just so everybody knows, put that on your radar. I just took a ride today, Aaron, from, and you don't have to answer me because you're eating a cookie. The cookies are from Kelly.
You took a ride?
Yeah, no, and they're amazing. I'm going to finish mine later after I ask a question that takes some time to answer.
These are really good.
Yeah, totally. So I took a bike ride. I took a couple bike rides. One of the things I did that I was really excited about was, we mentioned last week, the swap of the tall bike with the Bachfiets cargo bike. And Drew has since put up a video of him riding on the tall bike and kind of demonstrating how that worked. And he calls it Drew's Tiny Blog. It's the name of his website. But it's also a very, like, the articles are really long and there's a lot of cool stuff on there. So I don't know why it's tiny. But he's got a little write-up of his experience with that. I took the cargo bike out to Tad's Chicken and Dumplings out on the historic Columbia Highway, which is not too far from downtown Troutdale. But it is just far enough out that usually I wouldn't think about biking there because it's really dark and it's a highway.
Yeah.
But the dynamo hub and the powered lights that are on that bike made it perfectly acceptable to ride that bike in the dark. So now I really want a dynamo hub. And then today I rode out to the Grand Lodge with Adele and we hopped in the soaking tub for a while. Then nice. I had a beer and we picnicked against policy for McMenamins. You're not supposed to picnic on the grounds, but we brought apples and we ate them.
Yeah. I once with my old house, we did that once.
Right. Well, it's it's pretty easy to do. And for anybody who doesn't know.
How can you not? They like set that up. They're like asking you to picnic.
Right.
Over
right.
There.
Yeah.
They
check
basically
out these
they
amazing
should,
picnic grounds.
Exactly.
Don't picnic here.
Did you like the chicken and dumplings?
I did like the chicken and dumplings.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, that's like the best neon sign between like here and like probably Cascade Locks.
It is.
On,
yeah.
On the highway. Yeah.
Yeah. And the sign at night says Chic Dump. Because half of the sign is burnt out.
Ooh.
So it used to say chicken and dumplings, but now it says Chic Dump.
So next time
is it
I need...
animated?
It's not, as far as I know. But they just left it that way. So, yeah, it works out pretty well.
All right.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Oh, McMenamins. For anybody who doesn't know.
Don't picnic there.
They own a lot of cool old buildings and estates around Oregon and some in Washington. I think they're a Northwest thing. But they have some of the coolest old buildings in the world because you can go in there and get beer and watch a movie or go to a concert or what have you. So I highly recommend if you haven't been there. We're not sponsored by them, so I'm going to say the beer is not that great. But it's passable. Like McMenamins beer, nothing to write home about.
Yeah.
Unless you write home about where you had the beer.
It's like if the coolness of Portland got boiled down into like filtered through like the Applebee's sort of corporate model.
Sure.
And they're like, okay, so they're all the same pretty much everywhere, but they're still kind of cool, but still like kitschy.
A little quirky.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like globes painted with faces on them.
I don't think any of the waiters or waitresses are wearing flair though.
That's good. So that's actually a plus in my book.
You got that.
Yeah. So that was what I did on this weekend. And I don't think there was anything else exciting that happened. I did get a flat on Drew's cargo bike.
There was nothing else exciting that happened?
No, I just went to work. That's pretty much it.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all?
Pretty much.
That's all really?
Are you prompting or being a jerk?
Both.
Okay.
Okay. Then I forgot. What did I do?
Friday was the second Friday of the month.
Oh, that's right. That's right, which is the Midnight Mystery Ride.
Correct.
Every month. Yeah. Do either of you do those?
Greet.
Okay.
Wait, which one in the summer did you do? Like what month?
We rode out to Swan Island.
Oh, really?
Okay, so that was like July, maybe?
It might have been the Petapalooza one.
Yeah.
Oh, that was in... Okay.
Is that where you went to the crazy park with the little beach and the abandoned, like, the building? Is that where they went? I've heard of this. It's legendary. Because I wasn't there. So it's all conjecture.
Yeah. Well, there was actually a special occasion. It was the anniversary of statehood for Montana, in which, Aaron, you were especially excited about that day. And so
I'm very excited about Montana's.
To be able to do, yeah. You got good friends there, family.
Yes.
And so to be able to do that on the anniversary of Montana's statehood and also go on a midnight mystery ride was pretty great.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we also went to Swan Island this time around.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe we ended up like in the same spot.
It's possible.
The sandy area where you can do bonfires.
Keep on talking. I'm gonna adjust some cables.
I think your mic went out again.
But I don't think it's your fault. That's the one thing. Don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had no idea where we were, honestly, until we were on our way home. And I was like, Brock, how do we get home?
I could see a cycling Portland that is animated according to the time. Because, like, Swan Island and Rivergate and out towards Kelly Point Park are probably not great places to be riding, like, at 4:30 in the morning until 6 when all the trucks come in. But when it's quiet, there's nothing out there. Or you could just tear around.
Coming back on Greeley was still not very fun.
Well, yeah.
Right. Like, cars were just whipping by us, like, really close. Like, but then, so I was thinking, because there's that bike lane there, like, do people actually use this for commuting?
Well, maybe some do, but not too many.
That's insane.
Swan Island is also well served.
Imagine what that would be like, like at rush hour?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of cars, and you have to cross the entrance to I-5 southbound.
Yeah, that's right.
Which itself is that's no picnic.
That was, if I remember correctly, which I may not, but if I remember correctly.
But you might.
But I might. That was kind of a hairy part for us on the way home.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got there as the only car on the road was trying to get onto I-5 southbound.
Yes.
So, yeah. Only so much you can ask for at 3 in the morning, I guess. Kelly, did we get your mic back yet?
No, I guess not.
Okay. Well, hey, so we were talking about Midnight Mystery Rides. You just opened Kickapoo, I'm not mistaken.
Kickapoo Joy Juice.
Yeah?
That's like the subtitle? Dude, sodas can have subtitles, apparently.
Sodas, they have subtitles.
This tastes like a Fresca.
Yeah? Is it like a grapefruit thing? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Or Dog Patch.
Dog Patch.
Just says, original Dog Patch recipe.
I am not familiar with that term.
Is it, which town is it from?
And this one comes to us from Grenada. No, sorry, Gardenia.
Oh.
I think that is not a place we invaded to save a bunch of like medical students, but I think that's California. Just Southern California.
Right. All right. Well, good times. Congratulations. Do we already say we're also, a bunch of us are enjoying the Session Fest from, is it Session Fest or Fest Session?
It just says Fest.
Yeah.
Session Fest.
Getting into subtitles.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's from Hood River, the Full Sail Brewing Company.
As opposed to just Sessions.
This is
their seasonal?
This is a sessionable festival, as opposed to just a sessionable
beer. Spiced.
Yeah.
Or just has more malt or sugar.
Right.
Yeah. It's like the eggnog of beers. Kind of.
There you go.
That's how I always think of it whenever it becomes like holiday times. Like all the seasonal flavors are basically just like, this is our version of eggnog or something. Quick poll around the room. Who likes eggnog? Who does not?
I like one brand.
Oh, yeah?
One brand only.
What is that brand?
Your brand, the one you make at home.
No, I don't even like that. Oh. I'll make that for other people.
But the Jack Daniels version?
What is it? Organic Farms?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
From California?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah,
they make the expensive milk, yeah.
It's really spicy.
Okay.
Got a lot of clove in it.
I've never seen that from them, but I would assume it makes sense that they would be there.
Yeah,
okay.
It's only available in the like, you know, long or tall and narrow cartons.
Yeah, like a one quart, is that right?
Something like that.
Yeah. Who else?
I'm indifferent.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Not a big fan.
Eggnog is a serious thing.
I don't like it enough to buy it.
but you drink it if it was offered.
If someone makes it, I'll drink it.
It lets you buy a whole dozen eggs and use them all at the same time.
At one time.
Yeah. Right.
And it lets you, it makes actually like a mixer a useful thing because you get to just pulverize the utter crap out of these eggs. And then you mix in the egg whites and they get really fluffy. And then you get to basically use half of a bottle of whiskey or more.
So you're talking about like homemade eggnog.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you happen to be, if you happen to have liquid nitrogen, you can have eggnog ice cream in like a matter of like seconds.
if you just happen to have this stuff sitting around.
So if you can drink, you drink all you want. And then when you're like, I'm kind of done, then you can
switch to the ice cream.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Okay, invite me over when you make that, and then okay. I'll have your eggnog.
All right.
Easy enough. So that stands to reason then that you are a fan of eggnog, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's made it.
And apparently liquid nitrogen as well.
Which one do you like more?
Any excuse to get a doer of anything. Okay. I like the drink, but I mean, you know, the act of freezing something in a matter of seconds is, you can't beat that.
You really can't beat that at all. No, yeah. I got to try that sometime. That was the sort of thing that
and
they
it's
did.
It's cheap, by the way. Liquor nitrogen is like super cheap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where do you find that? Because I feel like I should know this already, but I don't.
There's a place in Northwest Portland. I think it's like Dry Ice Supply.
Okay.
It's one of those businesses that it's obviously named. Like, there's a place in Seattle called Non-Ferrous Metals.
Yeah.
Which is just beautiful and that, like, you know. Hey, do you guys have, you know, lead? And they're like, yeah, because it's a non-ferrous
right.
metal.
No, sorry, we make shoes.
Yeah. So, like, you know, Dry Ice Supply, I think, has it.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Well, next time I want to take eggnog and make ice
or
cream
anything.
Immediately. Or anything and make ice cream immediately.
Yeah, like chili.
Vegetables. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Next time I need a sheet of tin.
Damn it. No, that's not right.
You go to the shoe store. Yeah. So, well, hey, did we cover everything, Aaron, that you had happen to you? Was there anything exciting?
Well, a truck fell on me, but.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay.
That did not happen.
That, all right.
I was making that up.
You can't dangle that out there and then not.
Yeah. Rode around today with my heavy ass laptop in my.
Oh, there we go.
In my bag.
I thought you swore that off.
I thought I did too, but
okay.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need a laptop, no matter how heavy it is.
What's the point of a laptop if you can't take it elsewhere?
That's true.
So I just decided I'm just going to have to get used to carrying this like 10-pound thing around here.
You could rename it a desktop, and then you wouldn't have that guilt.
That's true. That's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, and then of course, you know, going up and over Tabor as I do, I've decided that I'm just going to carry it along with me as I do that as well.
You're going to lose even more weight.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right.
I'm so fat.
he's not both, just so you know. Yeah.
And then you have some eggnog.
Although black is a skimming color, so skinning, yes. Skimming?
Slimming?
Slimming.
Slimming.
Yeah.
And skimming as well.
Yeah. If we're talking about eggnog.
All the impurities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. We're not talking about eggnog, are we?
I find that black clothing actually enhances the impurities for me. Like I find when all the lint shows up terribly. Which is the same problem that Henry Ford had.
Say what?
All these cars.
Yeah, the first cars were black and they were like, oh, nobody will ever tell they're dirty if they're already black. And it turns out everything else, all the stuff that gets your car dirty, different colors. So
who'd have thought?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why my bike always looks dirty. Part of it is because of the rust spots. The other part is the actual dirt. So, well, hey, we're here to talk about the Sunrise Coffee Club. So
let's talk about
the Sunrise Coffee Club.
So I said earlier breakfast, and that's incorrect. It's coffee.
It's kind of breakfast. You know, someone made breakfast the other day.
Is that allowed?
Sean Granton made like a scramble with sausage and...
Wow. That guy's all hurt.
Yeah, it was pretty great. He wore a bunch of tweed, and he looked really dapper. And I said, hey, I dig the hobo look. And I think it was the wrong thing to say.
Oh. Like he wasn't going for hobo?
I will not say that again.
Okay.
But, you know... Yeah, I'll just say, like, nice tweed. I dig the elbow patches.
Did he have, like, a broomstick and, like, a bindle tied to it?
No, and there was
anything?
No chicken bones or strange markings on the pavement. It wasn't the smell of wine or...
Pretty sure he's not going for the hobo thing.
Right, right. Now, we're actually having Sean in, like, is it next week or the week after?
So
he's coming
week.
In soon, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk. He's had some interesting adventures. He deserves a bindle, I guess. He gets an honorary bindle for all of the adventuring he's done. Also, he made a scramble with sausage?
Veggie sausage.
Oh, okay. Oh,
he's
there we go.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because that confused me.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But, you know, it had veggies and green onions. It looked really great.
Yeah, yeah.
It smelled good, too.
Yeah. So how did this thing start?
Well, so here's the funny thing. I think it comes back to the idea that, like, we often kind of think, oh, I wish I could do more of X. And for some of us, X is sort of like touring. I wish I could do more touring, but I have no time to do touring. And then so we discover things like overnight camping, where you can basically like skip out on your coworkers and come back in the next morning and no one knows you went camping except that you smell a little worse, like a campfire.
But that could be anything.
And you have this great grin on your face.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can only do so many overnights. And then you're like, how can I fit more like bike magic in my day? Do I leave like early or do I get up really early in the morning and go somewhere. And the guy, Rob, down in Ventura, he's Ocean Air Cycles.
Okay.
He's has this blog where he always has these beautiful wide-angle shots of him riding his bike that he sells out to the beach to make coffee at the sunrise. And at first I was really jealous because I thought, man, what a jerk.
Yeah.
he's really good with that camera, and he's making great coffee, and he has like a sunrise and blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, oh my God, he's a genius.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's actually going outside when there's no one outside. He's getting time for himself to like just be somewhere, and there's just no one around, and he kind of enjoys, like, he starts his morning off right all the time. And so that was the impetus for me to basically go up to Pittick Mansion where we did the heavy hill climb.
Oh yeah.
And make coffee there where I was romantically socked in by the fog. But it was great because I felt like, oh my God, I'm cooking.
Right.
And I'm basically doing all the parts of camping
without
that I enjoy.
Camping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I rolled down in the morning and I was already kind of like hopped up on caffeine and like warmed up, and everyone was like in their cars and they're pissed off and like waiting to get through traffic. And I was on cloud nine, and I knew that I had to do more of these, and we've done, but we're almost 10.
Oh, nice.
Like since last month.
Okay. So this is pretty new.
It's pretty new. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What was the first one?
Was Pittick Mansion, I think, on October 4th.
Okay. So this really is like, it's
super new.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, I feel like we're breaking a story here then. That's good.
Kinda. And everyone's like, oh, hey, I wish I can make it. And,
like me.
So, but what I want to say is that it's not a club or like a hangout or a meetup in that same way. It's like, it's just an idea.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if there's a park next to your house that you don't go to nearly enough, just do it.
Like, there we go.
If you have a roof on your apartment and you don't go there nearly enough, just go there in the morning and make coffee.
Go up on top.
Yeah. And then ride your bike around the roof for a few times. I don't know, just to make it more interesting. But
seriously, yeah, that works out way better on those flat topped apartment buildings. Yeah. By the way,
we went to Powell Butte.
Yeah, okay, that was the one that Friday. I wanted to go. It was 2 days ago, yeah. And yeah, is the construction done up there yet?
Oh no,
no. Okay, there's still.
But it's quiet.
There's hella construction.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can be like, there's a pile of dirt. Another pile of dirt. Look at all those cats in the grader over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Powell Butte is a great location, just like a destination to go. And that's a good, like, no matter what you're doing, as far as like, if you're going there to make coffee or if you just want to go out and see
the
woods.
It'll break you
out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's far enough away that like from most people living in the inner city.
It's about an hour and a half.
Yeah,
it is. So we met at 5:30.
So I did those calculations. let me just tell you this. I was planning, I had every intention of going and joining you guys on top of Powell Butte.
But your phone had other plans.
Seriously, this happened last time.
That is beautiful.
I gotta stop this.
Maybe I'm calling. That'd be the best part.
That would be kind of awesome. So the question tonight is going to be how much of this is going to make the edit. I feel like I'm going to do way more editing tonight than I usually do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I had every intention of coming out and joining you guys on Powell Butte at 7 in the morning. And then I realized that I had a window between 7:30 when they started checking the route books, which I had unfortunately forgotten to deliver back as I was supposed to the night before. And so I either had to get up super early, and I'm not sure how early people are there, but I would have had to leave the house at like 4:30 in the morning or something like that to get there. And,
to leave.
And also get to Powell Butte, which was about an hour and a half from where I work. So anyways, my apologies, but I would like to do one of these again. But again, you're saying it's great if you join the thing, but you don't actually have to be like, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah. I'm a little reticent because when I first went solo, it was a fantastic way to kind of meditate without meditating.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I like the quiet. And if it gets to be 30 people, it ain't quiet.
Right.
And, but I can imagine it happening like, 1,000 points of light.
Perfect.
All over Portland, people just sort of like lighting little stoves here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this idea. And really that is like, because obviously, like you say, if you get 30 people in, that's not the wide angle photograph that you were kind of jealous of at first. No. There weren't 30 people on the beach and he was like, you know, behold the flame or something. So,
but there are three of us getting together at 5:30 in the morning at Lad Circle. None of us are morning people. And we're just sort of, I was kind of laughing at the whole concept of just this happening at all.
Yeah.
And big grins because you're on your bike. So I think there's like, there's if you don't like one thing, find two other things that'll make that one thing happen.
Right.
So
right.
You know, you like coffee and you like your bike, but you hate getting up in the morning. Well, guess what? You're getting up in the morning because you like the other two.
Right. I like that. That's a good idea. Kelly, are you a stove operator as well? Or do you?
That's one way to put it. Actually, you're on the site selection committee.
Oh yeah, I guess I am.
And you're the Northeast ride leader for the Kelly Point Park.
Oh, okay. That's already been decided.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Executive.
When
decision.
Are you guys going to Kelly Point? We don't know yet.
This.
I have a concept now.
Okay. Oh, okay.
We'll have two rides a week. The first week, the first ride will be like usually Monday or Tuesday, and that'll be close in. Like, so mm-hmm. not more than like half an hour out of town. And then the second ride will be like a Friday. And like, it's basically like as far as you can go that gets you back to work by nine.
Okay.
So Kelly Point Park would be the furthest.
Yes.
The
seriously.
Friday one. Okay. So maybe next Friday.
Okay.
Or no, this Friday. Do we have one for this Friday?
Well, the podcast is kind of time shifting, isn't it? So yes.
It is.
In 4 days. I think we just made a promise.
Well, and there is a thing, like if people want to know what you're doing, is it Sunrise Coffee or Rise and Bike?
Rise and Bike.
The Twitter handle?
Rise and Bike is the Twitter handle.
Okay.
I wanted Wake and Break.
Okay.
But that was already taken. So.
Easy enough. As in like breaking away or?
Oh, like Wake and Bake.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wake and Break. I was going to
break the beans.
But maybe I'll have to steal it or something.
Yeah. Well, it's been done before, I'm sure.
Yes.
You just have to know a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys are both interested in making coffee, both interested in riding your bikes. Did this have anything to do with the coffineering trend that's happening? Like, is that that in part lend
people ask me about
idea,
that? Or? And then I read about it and there are like 19 rules.
There are a lot of
and
rules.
And it's like, you got to go ride. You know, I'm saying like a lot. You have to ride on the weekend and you have to go here and you can't do this and you can't do that. And I just found myself chafing at the idea of like just more rules. Like,
right.
Wait, what the hell is this?
I was going to ask.
I've been under a rock for a while, apparently.
It's just, no, there's a bunch of rocks on the internet and this is under one of them.
Oh, okay.
So there's this new trend called coffineering. It's kind of like randoneering where like you're supposed to ride insane amounts of mileage and,
sure, sure.
And you know, put photos up about it on Facebook because it didn't happen unless you do that.
That's right.
Sponsored by Rafa. And coffineering was kind of the idea is that like instead of going for a long ride, you're just going to do a bike ride, but you're going to go to a coffee shop. But like you said, there's 18 other rules.
Yeah, and I think one of them is it has to be at least 2 miles from your start.
Oh, right, right. So what the hell's wrong with making coffee in your backyard or going to the coffee shop that you live next to? I couldn't go to Soundgrounds if I was trying to do that. It sounds like I'm hating on it. I'm not.
I don't want to be snarky, but I don't think this is exactly it. This is something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, we're talking about simplifying the good life and it depends. Well, I guess that's kind of like the whole, like, professional racing also has some of these things, like there's all these rules and weird things that you have to know about. And, that's fine for the people that like it. I'm not really into professional racing.
We had two people wipe out on the way down from Powell Butte.
Really?
And I was not both of them. So
that's good.
When I got to work, I was giddy because I had these mud stains and like I had mild cuts and bruises.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was enough to make it awesome.
There we go. Like, do you have the kind of job where it's okay to show up with a little bit of?
Yeah, because my coworkers only see me from like the chest up.
Okay.
Like I call in.
Oh, easy enough.
Skype.
Oh.
Dear coworkers, I do wear pants.
Okay, well, that was the next question actually on my mind, but okay, that makes
sense.
But I
really wanted to turn the like I was like, look, guys, like I'm covered in mud.
Unfortunately, the laptop weighed 10 pounds, but
I can't quit it.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I'm going to interrupt now. So here's the thing about that: you can't carry a laptop like in your panniers, though either.
It'd have to be super padded.
Where do you
put it? Yeah, that's the thing. Like I just keep it in my satchel here.
Well, I stick it here in my basket.
Oh, there we go. So if you have a basket, it works out pretty well. Yeah,
I don't know. Like putting it in my panniers, I just think it would get jostled around too much.
Okay, and Phoebe, you should like get closer to a mic so you can share this knowledge.
You'll let me on my mic.
Yeah.
All right, I'll add that I bike with my laptop in my panniers all the time. I call them panniers. I don't know what the pannier is, but I've been doing it for
potato.
3 years maybe, and I haven't had a problem. They're in the back. I don't know if that makes a difference, but it's a MacBook. It has a little sleeve, and you know, it just goes because I have the Ortlieb's, so I just slip it in there and it's its thing. And I worried about it. But the computer guy said there are no moving parts in them. So without any moving parts, less issue of things being crashed. So.
Is it a MacBook Air?
No. It's one of the bigger, heavier ones. Oh, okay. It's like, I don't know, 6 or 7 pounds.
And the moving parts lock themselves when they stop, by the way. So
I usually turn it off. So.
Yes.
But once I had it on, and it survived anyway. So.
That's the problem, is all these people trying to YouTube while they're doing their commute. And that's where your computer starts to break down, I think.
So I shouldn't be watching YouTube videos as I
that might roll be your problem. Okay. That'll decrease your battery life as well.
Yeah. Well, okay, so also, I was going to complain, but like there's no reason now. It's all my never mind. It's my own damn fault apparently.
Well, I was going to say you need a really long Ethernet cable as well, like dragging behind you as you're biking down the street in order to watch YouTube videos.
Right.
So do we solve your problems or do you have more problems?
Oh no, I have more problems.
Okay.
So yeah, I wasn't carrying them in my panniers.
Yes.
And it's heavy and it's on my back. And then so having, and I've always, you know, had panniers for the longest time.
Yeah.
Just recently shifting back over to the messenger bag, and it collects all your sweat right there in the bag.
Totally.
So cool day like this, it's not so bad until you stop. And then you really feel the cold.
Then you have a swamp on your lower back.
Well, you have a very cold swamp on your lower back. Yeah.
I've never been to a warm swamp. All I know are the cold ones. Yeah. Either of you, Kelly, do you carry stuff on your back or do you have other ways of transporting
Once I got
things?
Racks put on, I haven't carried anything on my back.
There we go. Yeah. Christopher?
I have a ridiculously large saddlebag.
Okay.
Which is not on the bike right now, but it holds, you know, everything.
A watermelon.
Oh, yeah. Watermelons, 10 pounds of apple.
There you go.
No shit.
But yeah, so the computer goes in there too. And hasn't died in like the 2 years I've had it. So you know what? We're gonna collect all these testimonials and then we're gonna have an intervention. You'll be like, Aaron, look at the evidence.
When you ride with your laptop on your back, Aaron, I feel very sad.
Yeah, exactly. You're killing the family.
I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna put it in my panniers. I'm gonna do it. I love you all.
And this is the kind of passion and life change that happens every week on thesprocketpodcast.com.
You got to break down first.
That's true. Yeah, I got to hit rock bottom.
Like you got to be like, you know, my clothes are mildewing from all the moisture.
Right.
And I've dislocated my shoulder twice. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And
well,
and a truck fell on me.
Let's hope it doesn't get to there. That's the worst part. The truck fall. Everything else is fine. Truck falling on you, not okay.
Nope. No,
I need you to come back for
all
other
right.
shows.
Please intervene before the truck falls.
Okay,
on me.
There we go. Chris and Kelly, I assume you guys are into bike travel. You were talking about being into like liking to ride your bike, liking to go for long rides. The Sunrise Coffee Club is not necessarily a stopgap. Like you're not saying do this instead of touring. But this is a thing like if you like to go and tour, but you don't have the chance, you can still go outside and turn on a stove and heat some water. Mm-hmm. So have you done longer tours?
Yes. Over
right
the summer,
answer.
I did the Old West Scenic Bikeway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard about this. Yeah, Russ and Laura from the Pathless Pedal made that great video about it.
Yeah, I watched that and actually met up with them over some beers at VeloCult and asked them, like, where do I need to stop? Where do I need to eat?
There we go.
And all the detours I should take.
Yeah.
Which it turned out to be a great trip.
How long was the ride?
I think when I got back to John Day, it was 200 miles exactly.
Okay. And
or
days...
I just rolled around until it was 200 miles.
Okay.
Rules.
Seriously.
I like even numbers.
It has to be 200 miles.
There was a farmer's market to visit, so yeah.
Yeah. Were you there for 5 days? Was it longer than that?
I think I did it in 3 days.
Okay.
And it was the the fourth day was about 10 miles back into John Day.
Okay. Yeah. So that's pretty short day then.
Yeah.
Yeah. That works out all right though.
Yeah, I got to stay at the Bike Inn in Mount Vernon, so I think that was worthwhile.
Okay. I don't think I know about the... maybe they wrote about it. Is this specifically for bicycles?
Yes.
Okay.
I think a lot of people who do the transcontinental route stop by there on the way to Astoria.
Yeah.
I can't remember the person who runs it.
Oh, it's okay.
It was recommended to me by someone I met along the way.
Yeah. So. And it's just... it's specifically tailored to bicycle travelers?
Yeah, you just show up. They don't even have to be home. It's kind of, it's attached to the garage. And so as long as no one's staying there, you just go in and get comfortable.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Nice. How much does it cost to stay there?
It's all donation.
Really?
Yeah.
So you could stay there no matter how much money you have left.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nice. Was that your first long trip or have you done others?
That was my first long solo trip.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Others are, what, sub 24 hour type trips, like going out for a weekend night or something?
It's mostly been weekend trips.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, wait, I had a week long trip over July 4th last summer.
There we go.
Dig deep.
Yeah. It was just, we went, me and my friend rode out to Alder Flats and then just from there just kind of played it by ear, went to Bagby Hot Springs, Milo McIver, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Just kind of.
Got out the Clackamas River.
Mm-hmm.
There's some beautiful country out there.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, congratulations. Yeah. That's good. I got to try that Old West bike route sometime because that it's been talked up a lot. And everything I've seen, all the pictures look fantastic. Mm-hmm. So it's.
And if you go, you have to go to Ritter Hot Springs.
Ritter?
Ritter Hot Springs.
Okay.
They're closed, I think, Friday and Saturday.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. Is it, do you have to wear clothes there or do people come in without?
There's soaking tub stalls.
Okay.
But there's also a nice pool that you could just jump into with swimsuit.
Easy enough. I love hot springs, but I'm never quite sure how to navigate the undefined ground between the people with clothes and the people without. And I'm like, the people without don't really bother me, but I'm always worried about like, you know, what do we do? This person doesn't have clothes. I do.
I think clothes might be required.
Both.
Oh, wow.
If I take my clothes off, I'm worried I'm offending somebody. If I have them on, I'm worried I'm offending the ones without. Uh-huh. So, yeah. Now, hot springs are difficult.
Then you should
difficult.
Just, like, drop trow to your knees. And
kind of splits the difference.
I'm wearing pants.
Just quick access.
Yeah, exactly.
Legal fiction clothing.
Wow. Yeah. Christopher, where have you been on a bike, on a tour?
I kind of owe a lot to Cycle Wild because I actually haven't done any bike camping or touring since before the Milo McIver trip was, I think it was in April.
Okay.
And
of this last year?
No, of this year, of 2013.
Okay.
And since then, life has gotten kind of crazy and I promised myself I would do 10 bike camping trips and I've done 12. Because the last one was with Sean Granton at
Stubb Stewart.
That's a great destination.
That was that frozen day to come back.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
gorgeous.
I was reading his blog post about that, actually. It sounded like it was super cold.
It was super cold.
And wasn't there a tent set up that no one ever went to or came out of? Or?
And I broke camp at 6 because I had to get back to Portland for a meeting. And so I rode out, and it's creepy.
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful place, but it's also like really empty and desolate. And you're on the bike path, right? So you're not like near other people.
Nope.
You're out there all by yourself.
Yep. And your little ghosts.
Cougars, man.
Oh, those cougars. Yes.
Yeah. the cats, the big felines out in the woods. Yeah.
I'm just watching out for Escalades.
Seriously.
But I've only done. I did one big tour in September. And actually, the one reason I went alone solo is because on a Cycle Wild trip, Kelly was like, you were talking about how you liked going solo because it gave you a chance to just kind of be self-directed. Like, I'm going to get up right now. I'm going to go here right now. I'm going to break camp. I don't have to ask anyone. I don't have to wait for anyone. I don't have to be like, you know, let's just stop here and take a picture. Okay. And so... I went up to the San Juans.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to Astoria. So I left Hillsborough, went to Astoria, and then went up along the coast.
There we go. So a south to north.
South to north, which meant I saw every single southbound tourist.
There's lots of them. That's the majority,
yeah,
isn't it?
I felt like a salmon.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, swimming upstream.
I made a little list of places you can buy a pork chop along the way.
Okay.
Because I...
Specifically a pork chop?
I wasn't eating carbs for the most part of the trip.
Oh,
so
right.
I basically had... I was eating eggs, cheese, pork chops, cauliflower, and then... More eggs, more cheese, more pork chops, more cauliflower.
Was it like an Atkins almost sort of thing?
Kind of,
obviously that one's out of fade.
Yeah.
I was out of fad, but.
Yeah. So I wrote down a little ride report and I was like, okay, in this town called Hump Tulips.
Hump Tulips, I love Hump Tulips.
There's a place to buy like frozen pork chops.
Yeah.
Stock up here.
Okay.
You know, on the way to Lake Ozette, there's a farm stand with great eggs and
You went to Ozette?
Yeah.
Dude, that's one of my favorite places in the world. Talked about this?
No.
Ozette is one of the most remote places in the Pacific Northwest, mm-hmm. I think. Like other places you can drive to or boat to or whatever.
It's a great ride, too.
Yeah. Ozette is, it's up off of, like Forks is on the, if you're looking at it. Yeah. And it's
really?
A twilight town. That's kind of sad.
Oh, yeah.
But if you look, like say the Washington Peninsula is a clock. Mm-hmm. Forks is at like 9 o'clock.
Yep.
Ozette's at like 11.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
but 10:30. At the end of 11 o'clock.
Yeah, way out there. Yeah. And then Port Angeles is like at noon.
Yep.
So I could keep going around the clock, but that'll be boring for everybody. but Ozette, I remember I went there when I was a kid, and great place. I was amazed by how much solitude you could find. Like, mm-hmm. it's really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of years ago, I did this thing. It was like my last hurrah for summer before I went back to work. And I took public transit buses from Vancouver, Washington.
You could totally do that, yeah.
And I did, all the way up to Forks. Then I caught a ride with someone who was going to buy eggs or something up partway into Ozette. And then biked the last couple miles, and then I just had a backpack with some stuff. I went out and camped on Sandpoint, I think is what they call the place out there. But there's this boardwalk triangle, so you can actually walk on a boardwalk across a swamp out to the ocean itself. And so I walked out there and set up camp for the night and then came back the next day. But that place is amazing. On the boardwalk in the middle, it's like a 3 mile between mm-hmm. the lake and the ocean. And I stopped for a minute and just listened to what was out there. And like, I couldn't hear a damn thing. Like the tinnitus in my head was louder than anything that was happening in the forest. And it was so insulated because you can't hear, like the ocean was insulated. Like that sound wouldn't make it all the
way
in because of the trees. Yeah. But nor could you hear like anything from the parking lot. Basically, it was dead silent there.
Yeah.
So if you want that, go to Ozette, but not all at once. Don't let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah. it's like 300 feet deep. It's
the
this
lake
ridiculously
is?
Really deep lake,
oh.
super close to the ocean. People die all the time because the wind changes on them or something.
Are they like sailing on it?
I guess so.
Huh.
Yeah. But it's, yeah,
I had
like
no
said,
idea.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. It's really
and
beautiful.
There's no one there.
Yeah.
Please take this as a hint.
Yeah.
There's no one there. So
so what you're saying is it's ripe for development.
Yeah.
You've been hoping to build a new casino and hotel, yes.
I'm just looking for a place to build it.
Well, also, if we ever get into a place where the government shutdown is affecting your ability to go into the parks and stuff,
yeah.
like there's no ranger station there. You can just like...
Oh, there is now. Because I got my bear canister there.
Oh, right. I think I got mine in Forks.
Thanks, Uncle Sam.
Okay, yeah, for sure. But also... I think, well, if there would, it would be really easy to
see. It's closed actually half the year. So you're right. There is a building, but there's no one guaranteed to be in it.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. Well, congratulations. You ended up in the San Juans on this trip?
Yeah. I went up to Ozette and then kind of came back along the strait.
Okay.
And then I went through Port Townsend and then kind of came up through Whidbey Island and then took the ferry across to Orcas Island.
Yeah.
Just stayed there. And that island, it's super hilly, but there's great riding on that island. There are like alternate bike paths.
Are there?
Yeah, there's actually one little dog leg that you can take to avoid the main road, and it's like alternate bicycle path. And then there's always pullouts for bikes along the on that island, which is really touching because when I went to Washington State, I felt like I suddenly realized I'm a second class citizen.
Yeah,
because in Oregon, you feel kind of coddled. Like there are on small roads. Bikes and roadway signs.
Yeah.
You feel so loved.
Yeah.
And then you get to Washington and they're like, you know, just
like, fuck you, bicyclists.
Yeah.
Go for it.
In fact, there was a sign on, is it the one main state highway, not 101 that goes along the Strait of Juan de Fuca. When you get to it, there's a big sign that says, bicyclists read notice 1/4 mile ahead. And then a quarter mile ahead, there's a big sign with tiny print that says, this road, Highway 112, is really dangerous, has no shoulders, lots of RVs and log trucks, and you're advised that you should pay like attention and blah, 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 blah. But it's kind of weird because if they really cared, they would warn the things that would have killed me to look out for me,
right,
like, as opposed to me to look out for the things that are going to kill me.
The high-speed projectiles on the road, as opposed to... So it's basically like, what they're saying in legalese is, dear bicyclists, it's on you.
Exactly, It's like, it'd be almost like, it's hunting season, so dear ducks, watch out for hunters.
Exactly. Is that next to Lake Crescent, or...
So, you can take 101 past Lake Crescent, or you could take 112 along the coast.
Okay, yeah.
So I took 112 along the coast.
Totally. I remember there was a big, there was a restaurant where you could get a huge hamburger in Joyce, Washington.
Ooh.
And it was like a three times the size of a regular hamburger.
Is it one of those eat it and you get it free burgers?
No, sadly. I would have competed if that was possible, but no. I remember I had it when I was a kid. Our family did a bunch of vacations out there, and then... I think on our first bike trip, when Adele and I first took a bike trip together, it was around the Olympic Peninsula, and we got burgers there. So, yeah.
I recommend it. I really liked it.
You would have had to have asked for the buns to be held, I guess, like
because you
were going without your carbs or whatever.
Well, I broke at some point.
Yeah?
Because...
not enough pork chops.
I also really like malt milkshakes.
Ooh.
And, when you're in the country, like, that's... You see, like, a hamburger stand.
What else are you going to do?
And you know.
Yeah. Like, malted shake, right here, right now,
and that's a way to prove that you're kind of an American too,
right? Right.
You know, as a Chinese, as a hyphenated American, I kind of have a chip on my shoulder. You know, I'm like, hey,
right. The hyphen only does so much.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like barbecue and ice cream.
Right. Right.
Please let me be American.
Yeah.
Let me.
I was actually just thinking. I don't remember who were we talking about American flags with about like when you go out touring.
That was with the other Christopher.
Oh right, yeah, because he's in Montana.
Yes. No, Wyoming.
Oh right, right.
I'm Chris, by the way, because this guy sounds like. I'm sorry, just kidding.
He's a really cool guy. We're maybe not doing him justice.
Basically, it was the idea that like you can like fly a flag from your bike when you're touring, just so that other people know, like, I'm not doing this in protest, or even if you are, you just like disguise yourself and be like, no, we can all get along, really.
Right, like the idea, or
wave to people as much as possible, please.
His
experience was like, without the flag, cars are honking at him, drivers are honking at him, drivers are like giving him the bird. And again, this is Casper, Wyoming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously here in Portland, we're in a bubble. Things are different outside of here, guys.
Biodome.
just like that movie starring...
Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore.
The name of which I cannot remember.
That's right.
Yeah.
Biodome.
Yes. And now you're hip to one of our jokes.
Yeah.
Do they really not know the name?
These guys are really stupid.
You're going to get unplugged pretty soon.
Seriously.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about touring.
Yes.
Flying a flag.
In his experience, flying a flag like changed all that. The same drivers are doing a 180 and like, honking their horn
pumping
in solidarity.
Yeah.
Like, pumping the fist and like, right on, guy. So, I don't know. I mean, the American flag is kind of a divisive tool anyways.
Sure. But it's kind of like a milkshake. Like, if you drink a milkshake, it's kind of like waving a flag around a little bit.
Sure.
Is that your point? Was I getting it right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's a patriotic
food. I feel like I've been painted into a corner, but I did the thing myself, so it's okay.
Would you like... I could lay some newspaper so you could step over.
No. Humdinger... Which is an awesome name for any place.
Yeah,
is in Hoquiam.
Okay, yeah.
Which is after you go through Aberdeen,
mm-hmm.
It is the most beautiful place.
Yeah, it really is, especially compared to Aberdeen.
Yeah, but in Aberdeen, you can get some pupusas.
Really,
they're delicious.
Really,
and the fried plantains are really good.
You know, I need to try more plantains because I've always heard people talk about them, and I've never had enough to know if I like them or not. So,
I think when you fry them, they get sweeter.
Okay,
so. They're served in the Salvadorian style with sour cream and refried beans.
Yeah.
Which sounds kind of weird, but it's the whole sweet and savory thing.
Totally.
So you can eat that forever. It's especially when you can ride your bike, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm a big fan. And you lose salt when you sweat, so you're going to need some more of that.
That's right.
Yeah.
I could talk about food the whole time.
Oh, seriously. Well,
it's
let's
the best
talk
part of touring.
Exactly. Let's talk just a little bit more. Like, we've talked about coffee. That's a big piece of it.
Uh-huh.
What do you guys like to eat when you travel?
Burgers.
There we go.
Anything homemade. I think on my trip, I had homemade cherry pie, homemade coconut ice cream. Mm. What else?
Did you have the nitrogen?
It's important.
To make the ice cream
That's
with?
Important.
Or did you make it at home and then bring it with you?
Oh, no. It was in Long Creek.
Oh,
after
okay.
a really, really long, hot day of, I think it was, I had a climb and I was thinking I'd have a quick descent afterwards, but instead it was rolling hills.
Oh.
Through this straight shot
to Long
Creek.
That's the worst, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, it's like a false summit. You're like, oh, I'm going to coast forever. And then it's like, well, I'm going to coast for 5 feet and then I have to go up again.
It's like going down to Silverton.
Yeah.
I thought about hitchhiking and then I showed up 15 minutes before this restaurant closed and there was a guy there. I was like, oh, you were that cyclist on the side of the road. I was like, yes, that was me.
Yeah.
What were you doing out there?
Just humming to myself.
I was getting hungry. That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was thinking, well, why am I doing this? Why am I by myself? But I made it. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned malt shakes and whatnot and pork chops.
Pork chops. I think anything. Okay. So this is how it works.
Break it down for us.
Yeah. On us.
You get to the campsite and you get your like tent or hammock or whatever set up and you get a fire going. And you start cooking because the light's getting darker. And you sear the pork chop in the pan on your stove, but then you move it to the fire.
Ooh.
And then you cook your veggies. Like maybe you got some like summer squash or cauliflower. And then you're gonna cut your your cheese. And then maybe you can make some quinoa on the side because that cooks fast. So you kind of look at the pork chop, make sure it's okay. And then like you go back to the veggies. And if you do it right, everything finishes at the same time, and you're just sitting there by the campfire eating like cheesy quinoa with veggies and a pork chop.
I have never had cheesy quinoa.
I recommend it.
This sounds really good.
Yeah.
Because it's faster than rice.
Yeah.
Rice takes a long time, and quinoa is just like...
And better for you, right? Like, I mean, like quinoa has more nutrients per what have you.
I think there's more protein in it than...
Yeah.
Or rice doesn't have protein, right?
I doubt it.
Rice has lysine, which is a amino acid,
but not
a complete protein.
Okay.
Enter the bean.
There we go.
Yes. You put those two together.
Yeah.
Bean,
the dynamic duo,
stage
they fight
left.
Crime.
Yeah. Nice.
Which brings me to my favorite camping dish, which is just beans and rice. And a tortilla.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Well, it's amazing how good simple food tastes after you've worked. You almost don't care what it tastes like. I mean, you do. Because you want it to taste good,
but you really don't care.
But really simple foods taste really good, yeah.
That time we went to
Gales Creek?
Gales Creek.
We were just talking about that today when we were at riding.
Oh,
we're
no
like,
kidding.
We got to do this again sometime.
Yeah. Yeah, what did we do? We just took raw vegetables and like threw it on the fire there.
Yeah.
That was really awesome.
Like roasted potatoes on the grill.
It was kind of a wake-up call in a way. Because, like, you know, here, usually we'll, like, grab a can of this or that.
We had canned chili.
We did have canned chili, right. But usually we do, like, something else more prepared, you know. or, like, we get, like, some parboiled beans and rice. And this time we just used these raw vegetables.
Yeah, that worked out
pretty
well.
It was so awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so filling, too.
That is the night I had a bunch of whiskey, and I don't remember going back to bed. Like... Like that's the line where I love being a little stupid and a little silly, but I don't like forgetting like
right.
if the fire's out or not and like what happened. So
it's like you woke up the next day and was like, how did I get here?
Exactly. Yeah. So next time I'm not gonna drink the whole
thing. It's a terrible feeling.
Yeah. The whole thing.
That happens to me and I don't even drink.
Yeah. That, okay, easy enough.
We'll go into that later, maybe.
That would require a whole separate podcast. Well, thank you both for telling us a little bit about touring and about the Sunrise Coffee Club.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to kick in? Just people that, so they would know or be aware or?
Oh, you mean like awareness? Like
Oh, and anything that's on your mind, anything you wanted to say to the public that you have not yet said.
I'm just trying to process all of Aaron's problems.
Oh, okay.
We should leave.
Good luck.
Leave
so
you to that.
Memory lapses and
laptop issues.
Right. Well, I think those two are related.
Sweet Jesus, this is an intervention. Holy shit.
No.
What? Yeah.
I think it's just all about just kind of. I don't want to say cheating time, but there's all this time that you have that you're just kind of sitting on your ass.
Right.
And if you just, you don't, I mean, it's not like, I'm not guilting anybody because it's not like that, but it's like, think about like all the ways you can kind of just sneak in like little things and kind of cheat death almost.
Totally. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Because you could spend it on the couch, and certain days that's a really appealing option because it's wet and cold outside. And that's why most of us have apartments or houses or something that we go into.
Yeah.
But there's also tons of days where you could just go outside and do something cool.
We've had some really incredibly crappy Sunrise Coffee Club meetings, but they've all been fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. Like crappy weather wise.
Yeah. We've seen maybe like what? 3 or 4 sunrises. Okay. And the other ones have been more or less, hey, it's brighter now.
There we go.
And it's a little warmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Friday was like that, wasn't it? It was kind of a...
It was a little drizzly.
Too bad. I remember thinking along the lines of, you know, you could be in bed instead, but we were climbing up to Pal Butte and I looked at the clock and it's 6:30 and we're just riding the trails up to Pal Butte.
Yeah.
So...
And there's no one there.
No one there.
Right. No one to care if you are there or
everyone
not.
Everyone else is probably still sleeping.
We shouldn't, I don't even know if we should talk about the technicalities. Like, some parks are only open from a certain time to a certain
Most
time.
Most of them open at 5.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So you can be there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's okay. I was going to try and be all circumspect about this, but really, there's no need. Okay.
Oh, yeah. What time does Laurelhurst Park open?
I think most Portland parks open at 5.
I think 5. Yeah, it's like 5 to 12:01 or something like that. So 12:02 is where they get you.
The Banks Vernonia Trail only opens at 7.
Really?
Which We're is not going
ridiculous.
That far out.
You're not going that far out.
When does the first max come? Like the first max out
Five.
To Hillsboro?
They're pretty early, like 4.
Yeah, yeah. So you could get there. You could be there for sunrise. You wouldn't be back in time for work.
No.
Yeah.
That could be a Saturday one.
I was going to say, will there be any Saturday coffee runs?
Well, that's coffineering. We don't do that.
Oh, okay. Don't do that shit.
But we make our own coffee, so.
Right.
I don't know.
But this isn't coffineering. Okay. Easy enough. Cool. Well, thank you again. And the Twitter handle is RisenBike.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just
no
search
idea.
For Sunrise Coffee Club and I think it'll come up.
Great.
I think the search engine's getting better and better.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Well, hey, how about we do some stuff because we got a few more things that we should talk about. And when I say that, I mean news.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Sorry, my iPod just went blank for a second.
Oh, really?
It's kind of weird.
That's strange. That's
headlines.
Even different than laptop issues.
Tom's Bike Trip, review of a USB charger and some thoughts on electronics and travel. Since the start of this year, or do you want to say a few things about this?
Oh, no, go for it. Okay. I just copied from his post. It's amazing.
All right. Since the start of this year, I've been making an extensive use of a nifty on-the-road power solution from Taiwanese manufacturer Biologic called Recharge, R-E-E, Charge. It's billed as an effective and environmentally respectful way to put your pedaling efforts to use in keeping your smartphone, GPS, or other USB-powered devices charged while on the road.
Yeah. This one is just a little bit different than most. Like, most people use a dynamo hub that is in the front wheel. This one attaches to the back wheel, but doesn't integrate with the wheel. It, like, mounts on the side of your bike.
Like, you don't need a new hub or anything.
Basically, it can be installed on any bike, which is kind of cool. But then this other thing that he said I thought was even more valuable. You want me to read it?
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Tom says, a word of warning. No traveler should ever rely entirely on electronics. A smartphone or GPS unit is no substitute for a map and compass. And more importantly, an awareness of how to function comfortably and calmly in a world in which all these modern conveniences are absent. I mean this. If you can't navigate on wits alone, and your loved ones can't go for more than a few hours without hearing from you, you really need to stop reading and resolve this first. So I love that he's talking about, like, hey, this is a great little thing that can give you tons of electricity. That being said, don't depend on it too heavily.
Right.
Which I think that's a wonderfully balanced perspective.
I think that's it's something I, especially when it comes to trip planning, that I have a pitfall for it, is like going directly to Google Maps or
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
And going like, where, how do I get from point A to point B? Let me see what Google says. Oh shit, I don't have Google. What do I do?
Right. Yeah. Like you should never get to that oh shit moment. Like no. Google shouldn't be that important to you. And man, I love Google. Great tools. Like I've said before.
It's a tool, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, much like a hammer. A hammer is not that important other than, I mean, you can use it, but worst comes to worst, you can also use a heavy rock.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And some have, yeah. So yeah. So there's that.
I'm going to replace Google with a heavy rock now. Consult that for my wayfinding.
Perfect.
Bike Portland, a new bike-friendly micro-apartments, 200 square feet and no car parking. The tiny house movement for apartment dwellers has arrived. Think 200 to 300 square feet and a kitchen shared with five similar units. So it's like five units all like around a kitchen or?
I believe so. I haven't seen the floor plan.
Yeah.
It might be online. I forget.
It's the nation's, or it's a new milestone for Portland. Why did I say nations? For the Portland area's off-the-charts rental shortage, the third tightest in the nation in the third quarter of 2013. It might also be a key to a new model for apartment living that's designed to deliver relatively affordable rents for tiny units in highly desirable neighborhoods. The new buildings, sometimes called apodments, or... That's a terrible kitchen name.
I would love micro
or micro apartments typically offer lightly furnished studios, including a private bathroom, in order to attract tenants despite the small size. They're located in areas with one of the hottest commodities on the real estate market right now, excellent active transportation. And because each cluster of five units shares a kitchen, they duck Portland's controversial new requirement that large apartment buildings include auto parking, whether or not future residents are likely to use it.
Wait, that's a new thing?
Apparently, yeah.
Wow.
Quote, we're at a price point that no one else is delivering, developer Jim Potter told The Oregonian. It's not for everyone, but it's a choice, and we like offering choices.
Yeah. No, so this is super cool because basically, yeah, like they said, they're circumventing the regulation for parking by saying, these are not individual apartments. It's like an apartment with a bunch of separate private bedrooms.
Yeah, that's...
But effectively, like, you're moving into a place that has... It's already lightly furnished, too. I'm curious which furnishings those are. Because, like, if it's got bookshelves and a bed would be cool. But probably not a bed. You'd probably bring your own. But, yeah, basically, you've got...
I would prefer to bring my own.
Yeah, yeah. I love this idea. Because if you spend most of your time out already... And this assumes that you have enough money to afford to go to coffee shops all the time. Like, you know, or you're very happy in a small space. Or you hang out at the library a lot. I don't know. But any of these, like, you know...
Or all of the above.
Right, right.
Way to stigmatize people.
My bad. I'm sorry about that.
Have you talked to Tomas about his tiny house?
You know, we haven't had him on about... I'm not trying to remember. We talked a little bit about
it. He also has a cat that wears a bow tie. But that's not the point.
Yeah, no. No, Tomas is great. We have had him on, and it was fascinating. We talked for like an hour and a half, and we still weren't done. So I got to have him back sometime. Yeah, I like the idea anyways that basically if you're okay with it, you can kind of get away with living in a tiny space.
Sure.
And also, just de facto, you might be living with people who have similar values in as much as like they value maybe frugality and active transportation. And those are enough things that you might get along with your neighbors pretty well.
Sure. I think it also, in a way, forces us to deal with other people. In a way that we normally isolate ourselves from in
right.
apartment living.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a cool little experiment. I'm interested in how sharing a kitchen with five other people would play out.
And that is the sticking point for many people that live together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean...
Be it housemates, married people, people in relationships. Yeah. Whoever does the dishes or doesn't do the dishes becomes a big thing. So we'll see how that works out. But anyways, those are our headlines for this time around.
A lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle. You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
All right. You've got mail, Aaron.
We do. From David from Thunder Island Brewing. See how I went straight into mail before you could play the sounder?
Well done.
Last week, someone told me that you mentioned our brewery in your podcast. I went to check it out, and as an avid cycle tourist, Portland-loving radio junkie, I was pleasantly surprised to find you guys. Next time you ride to Cascade Locks, give me a call or email me, and we can grab a pint. I can also help you find a better place to stay than the next or than next to the train tracks.
Yeah. Cascade Locks is a great destination, by the way. And Thunder Island Brewing makes amazing beer. So if anybody has not had that, they should.
And they will be a podcast guest in the future.
They will. They'll be coming up soon, yeah.
Shout out from Timo.
The famous Timo.
I'm very proud of this. a note to your Portland area listeners who want to hear more from Michael. He will be the presenter at this month's Bicycle Brown Bag, Thursday, November 21st, noon to 1 p.m., City Hall.
That's right before Thanksgiving.
He says, park your bus. Yes, two days before. Okay, park your bus, bring your lunch, come on down.
I think he's talking to me when he says park your bus, but sadly, I have to work during
that. Oh, I just assumed he was talking to everybody who owns buses.
Oh, maybe so. Yeah, everybody bring your bus downtown.
TriMet drivers.
Sounds good.
Park your bus. One from my brother writes, Aaron, comma, wear a helmet, !
And you do.
Yeah.
Well, you have been more often, as you mentioned last week.
Yeah, when it's wet and rainy, I'll actually go ahead and put it on.
Yeah. You got a few more lights this last weekend, too, on Montana's state anniversary.
Oh, no shit. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes, I got
I was with you. You bought a few.
Did I? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole memory thing isn't really happening.
How did I get here?
Who are you guys?
And one thing we don't get very often, we got an iTunes review.
Yeah.
This time from Scott Max. 5 stars. Also, one thing we don't get very often.
Oh, thanks,
no,
Scott.
I'm just kidding.
Max.
Current hosts Aaron and Brock consistently deliver great stories about bikes and biking in a highly entertaining way.
We aim to continue.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's probably about time for us to wrap things up.
Yes.
Anybody else not say anything they wanted to? Because this is an open forum.
Let's pass the mic around.
Seriously. Anybody?
Oh, no, I'm good.
Thanks again, Phoebe and Dave, for the Anthem Hop Cider. I am enjoying this immensely.
And for the chocolate we haven't tried yet.
Do you want to add anything?
It's true, yeah.
Beans or rice or plantains or something?
Nope.
Okay.
Nothing on plantains?
Okay, one thing about plantains. Okay,
all right.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Give him the mic. Give him the mic. There we go.
I think the sweet ones are when they're younger, and then as they mature, they become more starchy.
Interesting. Oh.
So it's not the frying necessarily, but I think it's the age of the plantain.
Ooh.
I'm not certain about that though.
Okay.
So when you're at a store, how do you know if you're getting a younger one or
if they're just green or not?
You have to check their IDs.
Okay. If they look 30 or younger.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
You have to count the rings. You have to cut them and count all the rings.
Yeah. Man, what if we had to get cut off every time they wanted to still verify our age? It's a good thing we're people.
You mean you don't?
Well, oh, I just assumed.
This is my third leg.
Oh, man. That you've had a rough life, son. All right. I guess it's about time for us to wrap this show up. Thank you all so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
It's awesome.
Aaron, you got the thing over there?
I just don't know where it is.
Oh, it's okay.
There it is right here.
Fantastic. Well, in that case,
let's do this.
Let's bring this whole shambling mess to a close. Not because you guys were here. You didn't have anything to do with it.
It's like
mess.
Watching Con Air.
That was us.
It's not you. Con Air.
Con Air.
Con Air. Con shit.
I'd be offended unless it wasn't true.
Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topic and or guests and or drinks. Write to us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Or call and leave us a message at 503-847-9774. Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Find him at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. Thanks to Hurtbird for our headline sounder. Find them at hurtbirdmusic.com.
The pillows probably aren't really necessary.
natural pillows in my ass.
Wait, I can't hear now.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh. All right, so we need a piece of paper and a toothpick.
That's right.
Way too many adapters. That's so you know we're not pro.
Oh, you'd be surprised how much we edit this thing.
You guys always say that, though.
You'd be surprised where we edit it. See, that's the disappointing thing. Like, if you've listened to the show and then you come in to see how we actually do it, that's where, like, the disappointment can come from.
Can we call the studio the Sausage Factory?
Please do.
I really like it, though.
The disappointment
that's
sausage
the,
factory.
Yeah, that's the thing you don't want to know how it's made, you know?
I only half listen anyway.
Good. You want to hear,
like, burn something, and I'd be like, I'm trying to cook something, and I'm like, hey, that's kind of fun. Tell me more. Amuse me. Disembodied voices.
I brought cookies. I hope you like them.
That's really important. What's in them?
Pistachios, dry cherries, wheat germ, which I had never cooked with before.
Ooh. That's supposed to be good for you, right?
I think so. I remember my dad eating them
but only in
the
1980s.
See? Yeah.
And then they were like, oh God, stop. This is bad idea.
No more wheat germ. Just 1 minute, and then we can totally get started.
I'm cool. I'm not doing anything important right now. Anyway.
See, that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried you're going to get bored, you're going
to
leave.
That's right. I got shit to do.
Seriously. I didn't sign up to be a deadbeat podcast.
Ah, shit. Okay.
This is also not rare.